Hello and welcome to Ever Increasing Word Training Center. Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr. is our dean and founder, and we want to welcome you to class 2020 and 21 year. We're excited that you are part of us. We're excited that you are connected, and that we're excited that you are going to be empowered for the work of ministry, effective work of ministry, that you would become a vital part of your local assembly with your local pastors and overseers, that you would begin to effectively change the atmosphere and the climate that is in your local church because of what who you are and what you know and the impact of what you're carrying. The importation is coming off of Dr. Apostle Thompson's life is priceless. And so therefore, we want you to, without distraction, pay close attention to the move of the Spirit, how the anointing flows through him and upon him, as well as your other instructors. These classes are vital to training your spirit and your soul to come in alignment with the will and purpose of God on your life. So we're excited that you're here. We welcome you again to our class number two, our lesson number two. And we're going to get right into the word of the book today so that you can be continued learning and increasing. On page 26 of our book called The Culture of Honor, The Culture of Honor. And the reason why in the last paragraph is where we're going to pick up. I will pretty much give you the questions in order from time to time. Sometimes it may not all be 1, 2, 3, and 4 the way it's going to be up on the quiz, but you will have the answers already. So when you go to take your exams and your quizzes every Tuesday, then these will be very simple, very easy, because you already have the answer, you already have the knowledge, and you're already sensing the presence of God on who you are and what God has created in you. We are creating a culture of honor. The culture of honor is really bestowing on others what is rightfully due. Restoring upon others what is rightfully due. It's called honor. Giving honor to whom honor is due. That those who God has exhorted, those who God has called and positioned, that you are now respectively respecting their position, their office, their anointings, their graces, and their gifts on their life, that their graces, gifts, and anointing will become part of your life. And this is part also of the armor that you are carrying in the spirit world, that you'll be able to fight a good fight of faith without wavering or losing any battles, because the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ that is in you is powerful. And that what you know and what you operate and practice in is vital to victory living every day. Victory living every day. So let's go right into the book again on page 26. The last paragraph is what we're going to pick up. And it's talking about in a culture of honor, leaders lead with honor by courageously treating people according to the names God gives them and not according to the alias they receive from people. This is very vital as we begin to study tonight, that we understand this point. And each night, we also want you to know that there is a meditation scripture that we want you to meditate upon that helping to amplify this statement. It helps amplify the statement or the teaching. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, this is your meditation scripture. This is scripture you need to meditate upon that help us to understand the culture of honor, why we do what we do, why we practice what we practice. Here in Philippians 4, 9, the Apostle Paul makes this statement. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Clearly, the apostle is sharing with us that his life, his character, how he carried himself, and how he honored those in the body of Christ is our example. It's our example of what the culture of honor looked like, what it looks like. And so, therefore, we are to practice the lifestyle in teaching that the Apostle Paul has exemplified, which is following the life of Christ. Following the life of Christ. Paul said in one other scripture, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. This is very important because the culture is not something that we are recreating. It's something that we are modeling after before the world. And this culture of honor is designed to be so contagious that when people come around you and get in your company, they cannot help but sense the presence of an environment of the love of God, the peace of God, and the power of God coming from your life, coming from your witness, coming from your testimony, coming from your prayer life, and the love of Christ that's on the inside of you. So Paul exemplifies us and tell us and encourage us that we are as leaders, even including himself as a leader in the culture of honor, leaders lead with honor by courageously treating people accordingly to the name God, not men, God, not family, but God gave them. And not according to the alias that they get from people. You see, there's a place in the kingdom where the spirit of familiarity is a satanic nature. It is a satanic ingredient that must not come in the culture. It must not exist in the culture. Even though you may have grown up with your pastor, you may have gone to school with him or college or wherever he attended, or grew up in the local church with him, no matter what boards you worked on in that local church. But you must understand that his position and his calling is not of men. It's not of men. It is of God. And that office that he's now operating as pastor deserve the utmost respect and honor coming from those whom he pastors, in whom he pastors. And when we understand the names and callings that God has placed upon our leaders and respect them according to that calling in that name that he's placed upon them, then we are creating the culture of honor. We're creating the culture of honor by respecting every individual in the body of Christ. And this also extends beyond the body of Christ because it teaches us how to be productive Christians and how to carry ourselves in the outer environment or the world system. And even our family members, you know, how to carry ourselves amongst them. See, God said in Genesis 12, in verse 1, 2, and 3, one of the things he told Abraham to do was get from among his people. Why? Because of the spirit of familiarity. When people are familiar with you, they play with you, they do not honor you properly, and because of that, they cannot receive the gift, callings, anointings, and graces off of your life or your offices that you carry. That's why even as a parent, you should even allow your kids to play with you and beyond a certain measure, because when they become so familiar with you, they begin to disrespect you in the office, calling as the father or the mother. And that's when you have to restrain them and pull them back in and try to bring correction to them. You see, because of the fact when you begin to play with them, they think is a way of life now that they see you no longer in your office. They see you as a playmate or just a friend. And so your title is very important Make a mental note that names are important. Whether you're on your job or in a business or whatever, that person who's in authority, that employee, whoever they are, the employer, whoever they are, their role and their titles are very important because it carries weight, it carries anointing, it carries graces, and it demands honor and respect. It demands honor and respect. As we create this culture and as we begin to embrace the culture, not create it, but it being formed in you as a Christian, it's being formed in you. It's already created, but it must be formed in you that you may know how to operate in the body of Christ among the people of God with honor and respect. Further up, even in this writing on page 26. Now, that which I just shared with you was the meditation, Philippians 4:9. Before I get any further, that's question number one. That's question number one. In the statement that says, in a culture of honor, leaders lead with honor by courageously treating people according to their names that God has given them and not according to the alias they receive from people. That is very important to make a note of that as you go forward, because it's very important in your exams as well as your quizzes. It's going to be very important. Okay, to make a note of it. Let's focus on number two, which is on page 27, which is page 27. That said, great leaders lead by teaching and preaching. In that first paragraph on page 27, we'll read down and come to it, and then you can make the note concerning it. It says there, they treat them as free sons and daughters. It's a continuation off of page 26, if you want to keep up with that in that way. They treat them as free sons and daughters, not slaves, as righteous, not sinners, as wealthy, not poor. The respect and the honor that comes from leaders is to treat everyone as free sons and free daughters, as righteous and not sinners, as all men being wealthy and not poor. When we see people in the light of being righteous, of being the righteous as being free sons and daughters, and we see them as being wealthy and not poor, it gives us a very fresh perspective on how to embrace people character and position. Even if they're not multimillionaires, even if they're just beginning to even get a job, just beginning to make steps to get their prosperity in order, to walk in this life. Yet, with you respecting them, each person, as wealthy, as righteous, as free sons and daughters, that entitlement, That's an entitlement that's due to every believer, that we are to respect and honor them and never to look down on them as being less with disrespect and dishonor. No, every person in the body of Christ is to be respected with the highest dignity and honor that can ever be given to a person, because they are royalty, because they are royalty. And they are peculiar, and they're sons and daughters of God. So therefore, they're supposed to be respected with the highest order. So when you're walking through your church congregation and you're talking to your church members on the parking lot, don't become so familiar with them that you forget that they are children of the Most High God, that they are royalty, that they are free men and free women in the spirit world, as well as in the natural world. And treat them with that respect and not with so much the girlfriend type of attitude. Or it's in our culture, talk about my homeboy, homie, that type of attitude. No, but treating them as the righteousness of God with respect and honor, how I carry myself with my conversation with them, not to get out of place with them in my conversation. or even in my body language. See, here's the key. When we respect each other in our office, in the names in which God has placed on our life, when we respect each other in that area, then it keeps flesh out of the picture. It keeps flesh out of the picture. And it keeps us from walking in lust and in sin enticements or tempting each other with our fleshly outer man. Because I respect you as my son and my daughter. See, pastors and leaders who are covering the people of God, they have to understand that every woman in the church is his daughter. And every man in his church is his son. He must respect that and keep that in his focus all the time. And this will keep flesh out of his heart, out of the atmosphere of the local church, and will keep everybody in the right perspective of honoring each other. Now, there may be occasion where God connect you in a relationship with someone in the local church to become your future wife or your future husband. Then we understand that level when that approach. But we're not presenting ourselves in an enticement position to entice each other, because I respect you as the son of God and the daughter of God in the local church. You're my brother. You're my sister. I'm not going to do anything and speak any kind of way to offend you with words even. Why? Because we operate in a culture of honor. It's a culture of honor. Respect at the highest level. Honor at the highest level. Giving you rightfully what's due to you at the highest level. And that even goes in the forest, spreading rumors or lies that you hear about someone in the local church and you hear stuff about them. No, you're not going to begin to spread that to your other sisters and your brothers in the body of Christ. You're going to go and pray about it, and you're going to check on your brother and sister and make sure that they are okay. They're in order, and I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to stand in the gap with them, that God will cover them. The grace of God will bless them. And even if they are found guilty in whatever activity that I may hear, that still does not give me the legal right to spread rumors, to spread that to other people. It does not give me right to that. It gives me the right to pray and not the right to spread continuous statements about them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is the culture of honor that you are embracing and being formed inside of you that will carry you even in your family, on the business, in the world system, wherever you go. If you develop this character on the inside of you and these principles on the inside of you, they will perfect you in your faith and in your walk with God. Hallelujah. It will present you as an honorable man or an honorable woman in the body of Christ. It says here that leaders also acknowledge their independence of the diverse anointings God has distributed among his leadership, and their design for functioning as a team that causes a funnel from heaven to earth. Now, make a note of that, because that's one of your questions as well. As you need to make a note that that's one of your questions. Matter of fact, let me make sure that I have that. Ask your question. Matter of fact, is number 5. So when you see this on your quiz, I'm giving you all the answers. That's why if you fail my class, we got to sit down and talk. We got to talk. Or we might not talk at all. I might not even want to see you if you fail my class, because it is so simple. It is so easy to pass. It's hard to even fail it. Okay, in a quiz or in an exam, it's hard to fail them. So that's number 5. Leaders also acknowledge their differences, their independence of the diverse anointings God has distributed among them, among his leadership, in their design for functioning as a team that create a funnel. It creates a funnel from heaven to earth. Now, it is important, I might have these out of order as far as 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I give them to you as I get to them. You have them directly for your exam. But anyway, the respect that leaders give each other is so vital. It is so vital that we understand that we function as a team. And we're going to start talking about what I probably, I don't know if I gave it to you or not in lesson one, but what it talks about when names are important, and it talks about the apostles, the prophet, the as apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, and evangelist, and their distinctive anointings. And that distinctive anointing, mindsets, and also gifts create a network of relationships designed to bring the focus and priorities of heaven to earth. When we understand that the apostles, the prophets, the pastor, teachers, and evangelists, when we understand that though they have different callings or functions, they are a team. And they understand their differences. They understand that you function different than I do, but the same spirit, but different functions, different offices, but the same spirit to bring about the holistic kingdom of God, the holistic kingdom of God. Every church, even though we function different in titles, but every church should look forward to God impacting it with a pastor, with an apostle, with a prophet, with a pastor, with a teacher, with an evangelist. That those fivefold giftings should be in every church. Because if not, the body of Christ is going to be inadequate in one area or the other. See, whatever anointing you're resting upon, that's the anointing that comes on your life. That's the anointing you begin to operate in. It's like if I can, not making it so much difficult, but if you operate in a healing anointing, your leader operating in a healing anointing, then most likely the anointing that's on his life is the anointing that's going to come upon your life. And you're going to begin to operate in a healing anointing. If he's an evangelist, he's all about winning souls and winning people for the kingdom of God and witnessing those type of things, outreach ministry. Then most likely that's what's going to be on your life. If he's about prophetic prophesying, then that's the anointing that's going to rest on your life. If it's about apostolic, it's about leadership. It's about mentoring leaders, bringing leaders together. It's about calling heaven to earth government. You're going to be more of a government structured person. That's the kind of anointing that's going to be on your life. Why? Because that's the kind of anointing you set up under. It's going to rest on your life. So when we're talking about having a pastor, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher in your local church, now you're being fed the full meal or the full anointing that God has given to the body of Christ so that you may be fully equipped for the work of ministry. For the work of ministry. That's why school is never out. We're ever learning. And that's why God is giving gifts to the body of Christ. Not just a gift, but gifts to the body of Christ. And that's why the development of leadership must understand this is why you must embrace the other gifts, the other callings in the body of Christ. Even if there's not an apostolic anointing on your pastor, but your pastor can socialize or get up under an apostle and he can walk up under an apostolic grace that's coming off of his apostle, the man that he follows, the apostle that he's following. And he can bring that gift into the local church from time to time and allow the apostle to impart to the church apostolically so the church can receive the apostolic grace. As well as a prophet, bring the prophet in to receive that. If he's a pastor, bring an evangelist in to receive the evangelist anointing on that church so that the church, the body of that local church can have the full measure so each member can be fully equipped, Ephesians 4, to walk in the fullness of the work of ministry, to be effective in the work of ministry. And the reason why so many are not effective in the body of Christ is because they're only exposed to one area, and most of the time that is the pastor's anointing. That's the pastoral anointing. The shepherding anointing, the nurturing anointing, you see. And so therefore, that's all they walk in. Not that nothing wrong with them having a pastor or anointing. It's just an idea they are not fully prepared for the full work and the full measure of ministry because they're not exposed to it. They're not exposed to it. So therefore, leaders understand, and question number five, we understand that we have differences of anointings, differences of functions and operations, but the same spirit. So we're not in competition. In this culture, it's not about competition. It's about complementing. It's about complementing each other in the work of the kingdom of God. That's what's important. That's what's important. And you and I must learn to embrace that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It also says here, here's number two. Again, we're kind of outlined in numbers. But here's number two. They lead in teaching and preaching. They lead in teaching and preaching. When you, your pastor, your leader, whatever office he or she is operating in, they lead by teaching and preaching. Their life is teaching you. Not only are just standing here reading scriptures to you and explaining scriptures to you, which is teaching, but and proclaiming, which is preaching. But their life is a lesson teaching you how to walk in the light of the gospel, in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Watch their life. See, some things are taught, some things are caught. Not only hearing what my apostle is saying, but watching his lifestyle. Watching how he go out and come in. Watch how he handle people. Watch how he handle his wife and his children. Watch how he handle his grandkids. Watch how he handle his finances in the kingdom of God. Watch how he carry himself among sinners even. All of those things are life teaching lessons. And so therefore, when you're around your man of God or your woman of God, learn the lessons. Your character is very, very necessary in the culture. It's developing your character. Very important in the culture of honor. How I carry myself and represent the kingdom of God through my lifestyle, in my witness, in my conversations. Very, very important. Because we can mislead people. We can very much mislead people and cause harm to people's faith and their walk or their trust with God, or whether they will trust God or not, when we allow our character to get out of line with our profession. You're professing to be a Christian. You're confessing the word of God. But then your character life does not exemplify the scripture or God himself, a godly character. You see, so we can be very impactful in the positive, or we can be impactful in the negative, bringing people to Christ are causing people to reject Christ because of our character. Very important that we understand how important it is to be called a Christian, a man of God or a woman of God. How important it is to be called a mother or a father. How important it is to be called a teacher or a governor or a president of anything. How important those titles and those roles are, because we affect the lives of people. Very important. Number three, it talks about leaders lead by developing ways to help people get along with one another in a free culture. It says, number three, leaders lead by developing ways to help people get along with one another in a free culture. That's number three, so make note of it. Leaders learn to do that. Let's go on to read. We have a few more minutes. Let's read. Let's continue to read behind number two that says they lead by teaching and preaching. A gospel that accurately acknowledges God's identity as good, as love, as shalom. It recognizes the teaching of the gospel, recognizes and preaches and teaches from leadership that God identified God as good, as love, as shalom. Shalom means peace. God is a God of peace. God is a God of love. God is a good God. So my representation of God is always that God is good. My conversation of God is that God is always good and that God is always love. So my character, when I'm embracing people, when I'm talking to people, whether saved or unsaved, I'm always in the atmosphere, attitude, and heart of love. Never to see him as inadequate, but to see him as a soul that needs to be saved, a soul that Jesus died for, that Jesus wanted to spend eternal with him. That attitude is what you as a child of God carries in the culture of honor. In the culture of honor. Everywhere we go, this is our life. This is not a moment for a Sunday event, as most people may think it is. No, but it's a lifestyle. The newborn again you has been born in the spirit of Christ Jesus, which is the spirit of love, which is a spirit of goodness, which is a spirit of peace that you and I have been born into. So we create this culture everywhere we go, and it is contagious. When people get around you, this is contagious. They see you smiling all the time. They see you always walking in love and having good things to say about people and never speaking bad things about people. That's the love of God. That's the character of Christ being exemplified in you, through you and in you. This is what the culture of honor is all about. He goes on to say, following that statement, he goes on to say, and looks for clear manifestations of these realities as signs that God's presence is truly welcome in the culture. And the safety and freedom that grows as his presence grows. Leaders lead again by developing ways to help people get along with one another in a free culture. Remember, I shared that with you as being number three. As being number three. They have tools for confrontations that are congruent with people's God-given identities and are motivated by the passion to protect and grow the connection that God is building among us. It says, finally, and we'll come back and explain some things. It says, finally, leaders in a culture of honor naturally lead their people in extending the honor of the kingdom in a wider community, creating ways for our cities to experience the life that is flowing among us. And that's number four. That's number four. That's number four. So make a note of those answers because you will see them in your question on your quiz, and as well as bits and pieces of those will be on your exam when your exam comes on. But you need to make sure you have the answers. So it can be sweatless in the importation or the exams when they come. And they will come. Believe me, they will come. But here's something I want to go back to for the final minutes we have today in lesson two. I want to go back just above that last statement in the first paragraph that we just made, which is question number four. They have tools for confrontation. This is a word I want you to make note of, the word confrontation. The word confrontation. In the culture of honor, there are times that we will run into behavior. Behavior that does not adequately come up to par to the character of Christ. Are the actions of Christ, are the actions of us as being believers, things that we should do. And in a culture of free men and free women, free sons and free daughters, where you have the full responsibility, of your behavior and your actions and your decisions. There's no one, and you will hear this further on in the teachings down the road as we go forward in the future, you will hear this word again, confrontation. Dealing with conflict. But knowing that you, as the Christian, in the culture of honor, every individual, from pulpit to every member, carry the full weight of responsibility of their conduct and their behavior in church and out of the church culture, the Christian culture. What you do among the church people and what you do among sinners and unbelievers, you carry the full responsibility of your behavior and your actions. There's no one that's going to police you. There's no one, your pastor, your apostle, your prophet, your evangelist teacher, your mentors or leaders in your local church. No one's going to be following you home, following you while you're at the football game, following you while you're out at the park with other people, at the gym exercising. Nobody's going to follow you to make sure that you're always doing what you're supposed to do and acting the way you're supposed to act and live the way you're supposed to live. That's why God gave us of his Holy Spirit, to be with us, in us, to be the inner witness, to lead us into all truth. So we can be self-governed by the Spirit from the inside, responsible for every action. So when the church, when the culture of honor is dealing with a conflict, a misstep, a misbehavior, even a misunderstanding among sons and daughters in the body of Christ, in your local church, conflicts have to be dealt with. They have to be dealt with. They have to be corrected. If not, now we have added a new behavior into the culture that seems to be acceptable because we hadn't dealt with it. Anything we don't deal with can become a norm in the culture. And that's not what we want to create: bad behavior, misconduct, wrong living in the culture when God have already set the paradigm or the order in the structure of the behavior in the conduct for the culture. God signed it already. And we're not creating a culture. We're conforming to the culture. We're being transformed into the culture. From the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. From disbehavior to obedience. From sinners to righteous. We're being transformed and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. And so therefore, the character and the attitude and the actions and the lifestyle in the kingdom or the culture of honor is different from that which is in the world of darkness, who does not have Christ as their Lord and their King and their Savior. So we have to understand this as believers and as sons and daughters in our local church, how important the responsibility that you and I carry to respect and honor every individual in our local church with respect and honor and without the spirit of familiarity. Oh, you will develop relationships with people in the local church, but you must never become familiar outside of recognizing them as that's my brother, that's my sister. That's my brother, that's my sister. And I respect and my highest honor that they are sons and daughters of God. And therefore, because I respect them and treat them with that kind of mindset and concept in my heart, I will never become so familiar with them or lustful with them with fleshly desires. No, the righteousness of God that dwells in you is love, is goodness, is the peace of God, shalom. It's the shalom, it's the peace of God. And when we come out of that, when we begin to operate in the flesh zones, this will cause conflict in the body of Christ. And it has to be corrected in love, peace, and joy with the mindset of restoration. Listen, we're not here to condemn anyone in the culture. It's not about condemning. It's not about putting people out of the church. It's about restoring, refreshing, renewing people in the body of Christ. And when a brother or sister falls in the body of Christ, the Bible says, ye, those of you who are mature, he said, you need to restore them in the spirit of righteousness. See, it's about restoration. Because there are going to be those who fall. There are going to be those who misstep. That's going to happen from time to time. But it's how we deal with the action of restoring them is so very important. It's so very important. Because I must remember, you must remember, that even though we're born again sons and daughters of God, we're Christians, we love the Lord with all our heart, our mind, our strength, body, and soul, we are still in this flesh uniform called the flesh, that with this body we live in is flesh. And we're tempted every day by the enemy. And none of us are beyond reproach from the adversary or approach from the adversary. He will come against you. He will try to tempt you. He will try to take advantage of you. And we all have to be mindful when it comes down to judging issues in the culture of honor, that I'm not here to judge, to condemn. We're here to bring clarity, to bring restoration, to renew that person in the spirit of holiness so they can be forgiven, so they can be cleansed, so they can walk without a guilty conscience. They can walk among us without us looking with a wicked eye at them. But they can move forward in a free culture as being free people, knowing that my sins have been paid for, that I am forgiven, that I am loved by my local church, my local pastor, in the body of Christ, and I'm not looked upon as a heathen in such a way that I am condemned every time I come to church or even don't want to come to church. And that's why it's important that we restore in a spirit of righteousness, because when people feel they've done error, they stay away from church. They stay away from the body of Christ. That's what they do. Be quiet. They feel guilty. They feel they are unworthy. They know they have sinned. They know they have missed God. And they feel that everybody in church is going to judge them. That's what they feel. And so they'd rather stay at home or either go join another church that they're not even a member of and go sit up in that congregation and not go back to their local church because there has been such a damnable judgmental spirit among Christians when we fall in sin. Even from pastors to leadership, when they fall, there's been such in the past a judgment that condemned that people just rather not come to church or be even bothered with the people of God, because many times we don't know how to judge matters properly to bring restoration in people's lives. So I pray that you've been blessed by lesson number two here with Ever Increasing Word Training Center. Listen, you're in for a phenomenal year of training in the Word. Even though we're doing it by virtue, you are going to be blessed and impacted by the anointing that's on our leader, our founder, apostle, Dr. Leroy Thompson. Listen, don't miss a class. Don't miss a class. You want to be up under this anointing, that God will bless you, that you will be impacted and be impactful and usable for the kingdom of God. Until next time, shalom. The peace of God rest upon you.